Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. I give you a little bit of a picture there. You can see the, help you imagine it. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent out two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and it will be sent back here shortly.' They went and they found a colt outside in the street, and they tied it at a door, and it was tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' And they answered, as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. And when they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven!' Jesus entered Jerusalem, and he went into the temple courts, and he looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." This week, in fact, just yesterday, I did a funeral service for a young girl who we had been praying for. Some of us were aware of her and knew her, and I'd shared it in different places. Her name was Avery, and she's 14 years old, and she passed away due to cancer. Over the last years, as she's been battling this, I'd been visiting with her. I knew her actually from very early on. In fact, I had the privilege to dedicate her at the church I had pastored before. And in many times in my visiting and with her mother, who I've also known for many years, we would talk and also with other friends and family who would be there. And as is often the case when people know you're a pastor, the conversation turns to spiritual things. And I was thinking of a particular conversation I had with one of her family. And it's interesting how the conversation intersected in and out of Jesus and Christianity as a topic, but also talking about other different expressions of faith. Now, I want to be careful here not to judge what is taking place in a person's heart, but based on my observation and listening, I heard a certain level of disappointment with some expressions of Christian faith, and also a real openness to other religious expressions. And in some sense, there was a real openness to many ideas, and then to simply connect Jesus with whatever other faiths kind of presented as a part of it, and say, well, yeah, there's this, this, and this, and it's all good, and that whole sense of spirituality. Now, I share this morning because these kinds of conversations are not unusual in our day and age. Is that right? Like, when you talk about, when spirituality comes up, it's kind of like Christianity and any other name, any other faith or faiths, and it's kind of like, yeah, well, they're all the same anyways. And so you just kind of morph into that one thing. Because I think there is really an openness to many ideas, to philosophies, to values, and religious thinking. And it's like Jesus is just one option of many options on the table. And you take what you like, you ignore what doesn't feel right to you, and you can be critical of the things that you might feel are intolerant. On one hand, we probably need to do a better job of being equipped to handle these conversations. I know I feel so inadequate sometimes, even just talking in these situations when it comes to spirituality, Jesus and this, and, well, you know, what's better or what's most important. I think we need to do a better job of being equipped, but I think also that we are missing the point, or there's a general sense of missing the point of who Jesus is and who he declared himself to be. Now, the Gospel of Mark, I did a whole course on this, so I'm going to unload it now in 10 minutes. No, I'm not going to do that. But It is interesting when you look at the Gospel of Mark and the whole story of the Gospel of Mark as it's written. It's like the story of Jesus at a quick pace. In fact, one of the students in my class described the Gospel as Mark. They compared it to a teenage girl telling the story of Jesus. Well, then there was this, and then there was this, and then this happened, and then this happened, and this. That's kind of, now, no disregarding, but it's just, that's kind of the, if you read through Mark, it's kind of like that. This happened, this, and then this happened, and then this happened. That's the story of Mark. It's almost like Mark was telling the story of Jesus. I got to get it out there. In fact, Mark is the first of the Gospels that was written, and it's almost at a time 30 or 40 years after Jesus has already ascended to heaven. The original witnesses to the story were dying. The story was being told orally, just being talked about, passed on orally. And so it's like Mark said, I got to get this down. I got to write this story down so that we have it, so that it's not going to disappear. And so for the most part in Mark, Jesus has told people, if you read in the whole book of Mark, he's always telling people, keep it secret. Keep secret the things that he did. Keep secret even what the disciples declared about him, that he was the Messiah. But now, with the triumphal entry, with this entry into Jerusalem, Jesus turns the page, and he is now getting more public. He is intentionally putting his messiahship on display. It's like he's saying, yeah, okay, it's time. I am the Messiah. As he enters the city on an unridden donkey, a symbol of a conquering king, and he openly leads into the city and into the temple, and he begins to openly confront the religious leaders. And so Mark is writing this gospel to people who are persecuted. They're people who are rumored to be plotting to work against the Roman government. And he is writing them at a time, like I said, 30 or 40 years after Jesus had already ascended to heaven. He is writing to them, and he is encouraging them to be steadfast in their faith, to remember who Jesus is, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is indeed the Messiah. And so he is telling the story of Jesus to remind them that despite the circumstances they are facing, it doesn't change that Jesus is the Son of God. That, for him, is the point of the matter. That's what it is all about. That Jesus came, that he lived a life, that he offered up his life. He was fully in control, and he was fully surrendered to God the Father. And so the triumphal entry, this story of the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, is an opportunity for Jesus to make the point that he is the Messiah. And so this morning I want to talk about how Jesus is very intentional about making this point through the entry into Jerusalem. And then I want to consider those who were a part of the crowd and how they responded and how they identified with what Jesus was doing. And so really, my first point this morning is, what is the point? And so I'll just put that up there. What is the point? The point is, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And so Mark, in this writing of the gospel, he's very clear to show how intentional. This is not just a haphazard event and haphazard things that are kind of thrown together here. Jesus is very intentional about what is taking place and revealing himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God. The first thing is he comes from the Mount of Olives. It's described as we read it. He came from the Mount of Olives. And again, Mark doesn't very often talk about places in his gospel. It's too much. That's a detail that he doesn't want to bother with. But here he includes the detail. Jesus is coming from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem. Because that's a picture in the prophets. So many times it talks about righteousness and the king who is coming that will descend from the Mount of Olives. Another thing that we see about Jesus intentionally describing or revealing himself as the Messiah, as the Son of God, is he sends two of his disciples with instructions to get a colt. The first part, he says, go into Jerusalem, find a colt. It'll be tied there. When somebody asks you, tell them the Lord, your master, needs it. And so it's very possible and it's very reasonable. I mean, Jesus was the Son of God. He could have known this supernaturally, that he could have led his disciples to a colt supernaturally. But the spirit of this text and the way that I've been reading it and understanding it is that it's more a very clear, intentional act of Jesus. It's almost like Jesus called ahead. He Ubered ahead. Make sure there's a colt there for me. No, but it's almost like Jesus had set it up in advance, prepared, because this was something that was very intentionally a declaration. Well, what's the big deal about a colt? Well, you'll see here in a moment, because when the colt arrives, the disciples put their cloaks on this colt, an unridden colt, also could be known as a donkey. And Jesus sits on this donkey. And as it makes its way from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem, others lay their cloaks before him. And they wave branches, and they cut branches, and they wave them, and they begin to shout, "Hosanna." Now, Mark doesn't say it specifically, but what is happening was actually a fulfillment of what a prophet in the Old Testament had foretold in Zechariah 9:9, where it says very specifically, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so very intentionally, Jesus is declaring in a very open way that he has come to fulfill this prophecy, that he is the king who they had been expecting, the Messiah. The disciples, the crowds, they welcomed him and they shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And Jesus didn't shut them up. Jesus didn't say, no, don't say anything. No, he received their adoration. He received what they were saying to him. And throughout his ministry, he had again and again brought up and talked about his kingdom. He has only told a few of his trusted friends that he would die, that he would be raised to life again. And now he is beginning that journey to the cross to offer up his life. Now, some of those who were with Jesus as he entered Jerusalem understood what was taking place. I would suggest that very few actually understood it. But I would say that most missed the point. They missed the point of what Jesus was wanting to do and show. And despite the things Jesus did intentionally show, that he identified himself as the Messiah, there is no good reason to believe that most, if not all, who were part of that joyous celebration missed the point of what Jesus was wanting to do. So if you could imagine now for a moment, you're at a party, a birthday party, a celebration of some kind, maybe even a wedding. You're having a great time at this party. And it's just, I mean, there is so much going on. It is fantastic. It's like the best party ever. And then as you're there in the midst of this celebration, maybe you're on the dance floor, or maybe you're just kind of chilling with some people in the back corner and just kind of talking back and forth, and there's laughter and everything's going on. It's like a fabulous party. And then it dawns on you as you're there at that party, man, I don't even know who this party is for. I don't even know the honored guests. Like, who are we celebrating here anyways? It's still a great party, but you are missing the point of the party if you don't know whom you are celebrating. And so I use that as an example because in some ways the many pilgrims were coming to Jerusalem because it was preparing for fast Passover. So many people were coming to Jerusalem for a party. It was a celebration as the people came from all over. And so there was a sense of a party atmosphere. It created anticipation. There was festivities going on. There were things going on all around. And so it was even custom for the people who lived in Jerusalem to do exactly what we read earlier, that when people would come into the city, they would shout out to them, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It was kind of like a welcome banner to all the people, all the pilgrims who came to the celebration of Passover in Jerusalem. And so Jesus was one of those pilgrims. But his reputation preceded him as well. And so they thought, not only is he a pilgrim, there's something special about him. And so the crowd that welcomed him were people who were saying, "Blessed is he, welcome to Jerusalem, welcome to the party that we're having here in Jerusalem." But there were still some in the crowd, they missed the point. How did they miss it? Well, there were some who would have misunderstood the whole idea of the kingdom of God. In their minds, they were saying, oh yes, Jesus is a king. He is coming to wipe out the Romans. The oppression is done. It is over with. We will now be free. We will be liberated. No more taxes. Hey, how about that, huh? No. Jesus has come and he has liberated us. And so there was that understanding of the kingdom when they thought of Jesus coming, that Jesus would come and set everything to right and we would have power. The people who were celebrating him, yeah, we will be in power. We will be in control of our destinies. They were almost like saying, yes, we like Jesus. We like what he is going to do, that he's going to liberate us from the Romans. We want to reap the plunder of what is about to happen. And so they jumped on the bandwagon of this misunderstanding of who Jesus was. Again, back to this illustration of the party. And so the partygoer, the participant, you've been at parties like this, where the participant at the party, the guy or the girl who's there at the party, is celebrating, and it is really not about who they are honoring, but it's really about them, where everything revolves around them, what they want to do, the music to play, and so on. And it's kind of those who misunderstood the kingdom, misunderstood that Jesus had come as king and thought, yeah, we're a part of this kingdom. He's going to rule. It's kind of like saying, yeah, we like that. And it was more about, yeah, it's all about us. What are we going to get out of this? We're going to be finally free. And so that's one sense of missing the point. They misunderstood the kingdom of God. I would suggest that there were also a lot of people in that crowd who were curious and at the same time apathetic. They were just swept along with the crowd. It's like, yeah, we'll go, we'll be there. Oh, look at this, it's a party. Let's just join in. Let's just shout and wave something around. Yeah, okay. But essentially, they were not interested. They joined the crowd, but they don't really commit to understand what is going on. They're not really committed to find out, well, who is this guy coming into Jerusalem on a donkey? They join the crowd, but they're not committed to understand what's going on. They remain on the fringes, on the outside. There might be a sense of curiosity, but there's no energy to find out or get involved. Again, the party. The party you and I are going to, and there's the one who's there. They go along, but they don't really participate. Yeah, they enjoy the food. They drink something, but they don't get involved. They don't allow for anything meaningful. It's just kind of, yeah, we're there. Yeah, would you guys? Oh, I don't know. What it is, whatever, I'm here. You know, but it's just kind of moving along. Curious? Oh, yeah, that's cool. Sure, I'll go. And then apathetic. Yeah, it's not my thing. But hey, I'll just kind of wave my branches along with everybody else. And so missing the point is sometimes the curious and the apathetic. And then there is the oblivious or the unaware, the disengaged. The ones who participate in the street festival, ones who participate in the waving of the branches that's moving along, but they're not really there. These people are swept along with the crowd, but very clearly, they only go along for the ride. There's no truth. There's no sense of consequence. Everything is okay. Just don't make me feel bad about anything. Perhaps it's a bit of a glimpse of those who might be described as postmoderns in our day and age, where everything's okay, can believe in little or nothing. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my own truth. And so I think that there are some in the crowd the day when Jesus came into Jerusalem, who kind of went along with it. Okay, that's fine. That's great. It's a party. Let's just be a part of it. Wave our branches. But really, they were oblivious to what was going on, disengaged, disinterested. The party goer who's there for the party, the food, the drink, the fun, oblivious to anything else that might be of greater significance. Someone who was invited. You doing anything tonight? Yeah, sure. I'm not doing anything. I'll just come along. I think there's a sense of the crowd as well. Missing the point, missing the fact that this was Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, and they did not care. It was about an opportunity. Hey, let's just go do something, be a part of a party. How do we know all these different types of participants missed the point? Well, we know that because as you read in the story, and we read it right in the last verse, in verse 11, Jesus gets to the temple, and as you describe what it says in verse 11, Jesus is at the temple, and he is all alone. No one went the distance to the temple. No one went with him all the way. And in fact, as the week goes on, nobody is with him. When he finally goes to the cross, the only people, there's a few women who kind of stand off in the distance who remain. All the crowds, even the closest ones to him, his disciples, all of them left him. Those who had misunderstood the kingdom, those who were curious but apathetic, those who were oblivious to what was going on, none of them were there. None of them went the distance. And so as Jesus enters Jerusalem, and he's surrounded with this expression of welcome, people are shouting out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Welcome to Jerusalem. Welcome." Jesus accepts the praise of all of them. He does not reject them. He does not condemn them. He does not even correct them. Jesus accepts their expressions no matter where they come from. That is grace. That is grace. Jesus doesn't condemn them for their lack of understanding. He doesn't condemn them for their apathy or even the fact that they're just kind of curious. He doesn't condemn them for just standing off and being disinterested, but he receives and welcomes them. Jesus is undaunted, undistracted by those who miss the point of what he is doing. He is on a mission very clearly to show that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah. And having completed it all, going the whole way to the cross, the grave, and being made alive again, he invites us to come again. And this is where it comes, the question where I ask right there, how will we respond? I think all of us in some way find ourselves in that crowd. Perhaps we need to also lay down our misunderstanding, our unfulfilled expectations. Maybe when we came to Jesus and we received him into our life, we thought, well, now everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be wonderful. All my problems will go away, and I'll just kind of walk this journey and kind of, with angelic choirs behind me. Sometimes we need to lay down our misunderstandings and our expectations, our unfulfilled expectations, as we meet Jesus at the cross and we realize it is not about me, it's not about us, but it is truly about him being Lord, being in control, being the forgiver and the leader of our lives. And so we need to come as part of that crowd, come and lay down our misunderstanding of the kingdom and what that means. Come and lay down and give up our apathy. Give up our unpursued curiosity. All those times when we've been curious, oh, something's happening there. Maybe I should respond. Maybe I should take another step closer to Jesus. And we've just kind of been distracted. Maybe not. I think as a part of the crowd, there are times when each one of us need to give up our apathy, give up that unpursued curiosity, and then finally to surrender our oblivion, to surrender our disinterest, and to open our eyes, to open our hearts to truth. The amazing thing is, and it comes back to the point, it is grace, because Jesus welcomes those who misunderstand and who have unfulfilled expectations. Jesus welcomes you. Jesus welcomes those who are apathetic, who are only curious but not willing to go further. He welcomes those. He welcomes those who are disinterested and just kind of, it's not my thing. He welcomes all of us. Even though we may participate in the celebration and the joy and the party of what may be going on around us, Jesus invites each one of us to come, to worship, to adore him in honesty, in spirit, and in truth, and to acknowledge that he is the Son of God. This is not just another religion. It is not just another truth among truths, but Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the only way, the one way that we can be restored, healed, forgiven. His death on the cross has taken He has taken our sin. He has taken our brokenness. He has taken our woundedness, and he has forgiven it. He has restored us, and he has made us whole. He has restored that relationship with God that was broken by sin. And he invites each one of us, no matter who we may identify with in that crowd, right now or at different times in our lives, he invites us to come. Come, worship, and adore him. So I'm going to invite you to do that with a song that we're going to sing. Jesus Messiah, a declaration. Worship team, you can come. As they lead us in this song, this declaration of who Jesus is, whether we have unfulfilled expectations, things haven't happened in our lives as we thought they might have, where we have been curious but apathetic, where we have been disinterested, where it's just kind of a thing. In those moments, whatever it may be, even as we sing this song today, may we be gripped again with the truth that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God.